Okay, we are in Selected Messages, Volume 2, page 375, if you have the book. And we're starting at the, more or less the top of the page with the subheading of The Sunday Law Crisis. And it says, in the night season, I seem to be enumerating in my mind the evidences we have to substantiate the faith we hold. Wow, how often do we do that? You think about, how am I going to share with someone? Because we all got loved ones that just ain't getting it. And some of them have gotten to the point where you just got to give up, like Titus 3:10 says to do. But at the same time, keep praying for them because they're loved ones. We always seem to go a little further than the two or three times that we're suggested to go when it's someone close by, you know, family member. But you just got to keep praying. But she says, we see that seducers are waxing worse and worse. And we see the world, the world working to a point of establishing by law a false Sabbath and making it a test for all. Now, keep in mind, this was over 100 years ago. They were just starting to talk about it back then. They are literally working. I mean, if you ever seen their Sunday Laws Are Coming page on the website, that peel down, it comes on the top right side of my website, that thing that peels. If you click that, it'll bring you right to the Sunday Law page. And I haven't been putting a lot of them on there lately because it's just more or less repetitive, the same stuff they've been doing over and over and over and over, but they're doing it in all these different areas. And it's just, I just can't come up with any other more scriptures or comments other than to say what I've said before. It's all the same stuff. So what I've been doing is, like, maybe once a month or maybe once every other month, I just put all the articles that I've been getting into one big article with just tons of links. I'm going to be doing that soon because it's piling up. I just got to put them in there. But every now and then I'll get one that's just overwhelmingly new approach that they're trying. I mean, it's ridiculous. If people can't see this with this much evidence, and even back when I did that video on this and I put some of the article, the headlines in there, or even back when I did the Truth Provided newsletter long before we started the SDR Herald, and years and years and years ago when we first started this stuff online, I had over 100 articles then about, and just recent stuff. Sure, I got some archaic stuff from, you know, decades ago, especially in regards to John F. Kennedy and what he did during his administration with the Blue Laws. But, you know, it's just amazing how many articles are out there showing that this prophecy has got to be one of the easiest ones to see in its pre as well as actual fulfillment when they pass it, of course, and then post. But it won't matter then because either part of the Gideon banner or not. Anyway, she says, this question will soon be before us. God's Sabbath will be trampled underfoot. A false Sabbath will be exalted. In a Sunday law, there is possibility for great suffering for those who observe the seventh day. The working out of Satan's plans will bring persecution to the people of God. And if you notice what the Pope's been doing lately, he's setting the stage, you know, and Fran said something the other day that just struck me, and I had to use it in one of my comments. It was just, it's like, if you notice what the Pope's doing, like with the ecumenical thing, the Vatican II Council, when they set up for the ecumenical charge, I mean, that's been a no-brainer. We've been watching it since the 60s, what they're doing with that. But just like she was saying, it was just, it's the Pope is literally getting every sinner he can find on the earth to become part of the Catholic Church. And why do you think he's doing that, everybody? Of course, so that the whole world is on his side, and we, the remnant people, not the remnant of her seed, because that's Babylon. We're the remnant of the SDA seed that used to be obedient, but now they are a sister to fallen Babylon. That's prophetic. That's Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7. That's Revelation 12, 17. And it's tons of statements in the spirit of prophecy as well that the SDA Church will not share on their pulpits because they got to keep the people in apostasy. That's, of course, another prophecy. So this thing with him getting every sinner that he can into the church, so when it comes down to it where they're going to go along with the Sunday laws, everybody's going to go along with him because they're all part of his church anyway. It's like, you know, yeah, he's such a great guy. He's got no problem with homosexuals. He says we should stop talking about abortion. You know, he's just left and right showing people he is going to do what Satan would have him do. And then I got that one video I put on the site a couple of months ago where this one preacher got up there an SDA preacher from a different country. He's not as manipulated as the SDA preachers here in USA, but still, you're part of the conference, you're part of the problem. It doesn't matter, because the conference settled here in America, and it's a 501c3 government-funded agency. And so, you know, if you claim the name SDA, you're in a heap of trouble. You either obey God or not, because if you're an SDA, you are one that's actually helping to create the image of the beast. They couldn't have done it without you. In other words, 501c3, you can't get it unless you join your church with the state. And the donations go to that, and that's where they get their tax-free donations and all this other stuff. And so if you donate to the SDA church, you're actually helping to create the image of the beast. And so, like I said, you're in a heap of trouble. So, anyway, he's getting them all together into one church like this, as we obviously could see, so that we will stick out like sore thumbs. Everybody around, and this reminds me so much of 1985, when I found Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All 10 of my siblings were Catholic. All 40 of my cousins and relatives and all of them, Catholic. My mom and dad, of course, Catholic. All my buddies, Catholic. All my coworkers, everybody I knew was Catholic. And all of a sudden, I'm like glowing with fingers pointing all over me saying, you're a jerk. You're anti-Catholic. You're a Catholic bash. I mean, I wasn't glowing because of the glory of God, because I'm just a schmuck, like I said earlier. But I had bruises, I guess, from constant, you know, I mean, the hatred was pretty apparent back then. And so, anyway, praise his name, though. The truth stands firm, and you don't have to step off the path. It's just, especially now today, it would be such a foolish act. Step off now. And sadly, we do see some doing it. And so, but that, too, was prophesied. We saw what happened with Sessler about a year, year and a half ago. That was prophesied. Sister White said some bright lights are going to go out. If you're not going to stay on the straight and narrow, if you can't handle biblical jurisprudence, like when you commit a sin, well, hey, everybody commits sin, no big deal. Admit it, confess it, repent it. But some people refuse to do that. And so, what are you going to do? You can't. You know, so they step off the path. But on top of everything else, we see all the other signs of the end all around us. And the persecution is very, like now, literally, and I'm getting inundated here too, just regular articles about how Christians are hated, not in just America, but all around the world. And they're kind of like every day, I get some kind of, I'm starting to get flooded over. And so, I don't know if you notice, I start putting way too many articles in the additional signs of the end panel on the right side of the website. Because, I mean, I just can't comment on all of them. There's just so many coming in now. And so I just start putting just the headline and the link how to get there. Oh, and right-click the link and hit, you know, new page. Because if you right-click inside that panel, the article will show up inside that panel and you can't read it in there. Nothing I can do about that. It's a locked-in panel, so. Anyway, she says, but the faithful servants of God need not fear the outcome of the conflict. And I like to constantly remind everybody of that when I'm sharing these things that are happening around the world on my comments on the website, because I don't want that the demon of fear to come upon them, because we have to make sure that these people understand that this is when our God shines the most. We're not to let that which the... In other words, like when Peter was looking at the water when he was... Or like the wind and the storm and the waves when he was walking on... He should have kept his eyes on Jesus. And that's what we got to do. The only reason I do the articles is to let the people know what time it is. And it's very effective because I've seen this on the street. One thing has always been an amazing thing, because I tried every method when I first became... When I was a green Christian, you know, I tried doctrinal issues. I tried... just mostly doctrinal, you know, or try to talk to the guys. Well, I used to, you know, be involved in rock and roll, so I used to try to go to the guys about the backward masking thing and stuff like that. But it wasn't until I started, you know, touching on the Antichrist or touching on the signs of the end that even teenagers were kind of like wanting to hear what I had to say, you know. I mean, not all the time, but, you know, I can remember times that all of a sudden I'd be talking to this one guy, and before you knew it, it was like, 5 or 6 teenagers just sitting down, crowded around, just listening to what I had to say, or what the Lord had to say, because I love the way the Lord can take your tongue sometimes. And, that's why I don't want the people to have any fear whatsoever in the outcome of the conflict, is what she's getting at here. There's no need to fear this. This is when our God shines the most. It's going to get intense, yeah, but so is his hand. It's going to become more and more apparent. And if you're striving, if you're really striving, if you're really looking to get to be part of the Gideon band, and you're giving up the little piddly little trials that, yeah, they may seem overwhelming now, like everything from cigarettes to porn or whatever the case may be. Some of the stuff is very addicting, yeah. But think about it on this aspect. That little few seconds or minutes of pleasure, is it worth an eternity of death? I mean, would you give up all of eternity? I mean, just picture yourself one day when you're in prayer. Father, what is it going to be like walking on the streets? What's it going to be like visiting those other worlds to share this truth? You know, you'd be surprised sometimes. Like I said, like I was talking about the other day, some of these strange things are happening. You know, I don't know, was it a couple, 3 weeks ago? When I was in that midday prayer and I was telling you all about that, and about all of a sudden for like a split second, it was like, because I like to think about this a lot. I like to think about walking, like flying into this one planet, if you will, and landing about a mile outside of a small village that I'm going to spend an entire 6 days with. And I say 6 days because I'm always going to go back to the city for Sabbath. So 6 days I'm there and I'm going to share Christ with absolutely everybody. And it's going to be like those teenagers. They're all going to be crowding around wanting to hear what the Lord has to say through you, right? And so the other day, like I said, like about a month ago, I was just walking down the road, and for a split second, it was like I had, it's not a vision or nothing like that. It's just like a thought, just like, bam, it was so crystal clear, like, that's what it'll be like. And it was only a second. You know, it's just really nice when he does a little, that was like a hug, you know? But anyway, she goes on to say, if they will follow the pattern set for them in the life of Christ, if they will be true to the requirements of God, their reward will be eternal life, a life that measures with the life of God. And so don't let it bother you if they throw you behind bars for things that you didn't even do. You know, everything from, you know, drug dealing to child molestation. I mean, they'll come up with all these false. I mean, look what they did to that one guy in Texas. They arrested him for child for watching child porn on his computer, they said. And they got him in the jails and stuff like that. But they figured out some other way of getting him in there. What was this? Tony Alamo. Yeah, amen. It's all railing accusations. That's all it is. It's just like what Sessler did recently. It's just railing accusations. There's no witnesses to back up what he was saying whatsoever. But we had 22 witnesses to try to reach him. But the thing here was they got the guy behind bars, right? And all of a sudden they realized, oops, we got to let him go. We arrested him for child porn, for watching child porn. The man was blind. So, oops. And so, of course, a couple, 3 months later, they fabricated something else, and they got him behind bars, and from my understanding, he's still there. And he's in his 70s. He's a Sunday keeper, but did he go after the Catholic Church. Very popular preacher, very vocal, and just like Jack Chick, had a lot of good sources and information, historically speaking, about the church. But when it comes to his theology, way off base. But, you know, pray for him. They got that kind of information that will eventually come to the truth. Because I remember for the first 10 years of my Christian walk, I was a Sunday keeper. I thought the mark of the beast had something to do with the barcode. Because I was a computer programmer. I knew about the 6 can be inverted like a 9. And you had the 666 on every barcode. And so, but eventually the Lord opened up my eyes to that too. Anyway, she goes on. At this time, a very decided work in character building should be going forward among our people. Oh, that's like answer to, you know, the confirmation, a whole nine yards. How many of us have been praying in our hearts right now, Father God, not only help me in my unbelief, but change my character. I don't like it when I yell at my wife, or I don't like it when I yell at my husband, or I don't like it when I yell at my kids, or yell at my mom or my dad, or I don't like it when I don't reflect Christ. Change my character. And I know I've been praying that, and I'm sure some of you have been too. Some of you, though, boy, I got to tell you, I have learned a lot from you. I've learned tons from my wife. I mean, because she's got a gentle spirit, and some of you have that too. But I always had that Sons of Thunder kind of thing, like some of the apostles. But I'm, you know, the Lord's been chipping away at that too. So I'm still bold when I preach, but I try not to be bold when I'm trying to counsel somebody. If you know what I mean. Well, I've never really get bold when I'm counseling somebody. But anyway, she goes on, at this very time, a very decided work in character building should be going forward among our people, of course. And then she says, we are to develop before the world the characteristics of the Savior. It is impossible to please God without the exercise of genuine sanctifying faith. We are individually responsible for our faith. Let me repeat that. Just like with salvation, it's a personal relationship with Christ. We are individually responsible for our faith. You can't say, it's because of what he did to me that I'm... No. Or she did to me. Like this one guy that I've been dealing with for years, he still hates women because of what his mother did when he was a kid. I said, my mom was kind of mean to me too. I don't hate all women because of that. But this guy has had a problem with that for many years. But a lot of people are like that. They have a hard time chipping away or forgetting about their past when they were growing up. And myself included. I mean, I had a strange upbringing that every now and then I see little areas that have to be stopped. And praise the Lord for the way, I mean, literally. Without the Lord, couldn't it be done? Cannot be done without Jesus. She says, truth faith is not a faith that will fail under test and trial. It is the gift of God to his people. That's neat. It's to, you don't have to do anything for it. And so she says, well, of course, you got to believe and obedient and whatnot, but it's amazing how faith and repentance and salvation, gifts, because literally there's nothing you can do to get there. I mean, the Buddhists think they can crawl up these tall staircases until their kneecaps are bloody, or the Catholics will wrap barbed wire around their guts or nail themselves to crosses. This is not our God said, I have given you more life and live it more abundantly. But the TV preachers say you have to live your life in abundance, and they tack the dollar bills on that. This is no, man. You can be a pauper and be as happy as a lark. You could be I remember when I was when I first came to be a Christian, I couldn't get two nickels rubbed together, but I was the richest man on earth as far as I was concerned, because I had the understanding of the truth as far as I got, from what I understood. I went into the Bible, the areas I couldn't understand, maybe he'll tell me later what it means. But for now, the things I do know, I'm running with it. Just like the thief on the cross. He wasn't no theologian, but what did Jesus say to him before he died? He didn't have to know every book in the Bible where it was, what the seven trumpets meant. Well, they weren't even written yet, but still, you know what I mean. He didn't have to have a theological background. He didn't have to have a PhD or a bachelor's degree in anything. He just had to know who was hanging that cross next to him. And that came to me early in my walk, because I was thinking, Father God, what happens if somebody comes up to me and is like a theologian and gets all up in my face? And it was very clearly understood just by reading in his word that he wouldn't allow that. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is plain even in that area. And so if it's going to cause a problem, the Lord will keep that person away. Or, and I saw this happen, words will come out of your mouth that'll get that theologian to run. Literally, in front of witnesses. I saw that happen. And it's just, I don't go out looking for that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to get yourself on a big old soapbox and say, look at me, kind of, no. We know where that leads. We saw what just happened recently in the church with someone that left us. You can't, some people get themselves so high on a pedestal they can't see the path they used to walk on. And you cannot do that. You have to stay focused on Jesus. Do a better job than Peter did, and then you won't sink. Because you can. Peter isn't the end-all of the faith, although the Catholic Church will claim otherwise. They glorify mankind. It's like the Bible said, the prophecy said, they'll serve the creature over and above the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Anyway, she says, if ever we needed to manifest kindness and true curiosity, it is now. We may have to plead most earnestly before legislative councils for the right to worship God according to the dictates of conscience. Thus, in his providence, God has designed that the claims of his law shall be brought before men in positions of highest authority. And that's why some of you will end up behind bars. Some of us. Some of me. Maybe me. Yeah, because I've been behind bars many times. I've been in many courtrooms. And I always wonder, is this just training for what he would have me do later, because of the my past, everything that I, all my talents and whatnot that he's given me, I use in ministry, with the exception of I wouldn't call it a talent, but my experience in courtrooms, and I'm just wondering if this is where he's going to have me go, because if you're obedient, if you have the courage that Christ gives and Christ alone, you can stand in front. You can easily stand in front of a figure of authority and just look at them just like some other guy on the street and just say, "Hey, truth is truth." You know, you can deny it all you want. Call it heresy. It doesn't matter. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. And then you just go on with whatever else the Holy Spirit reveals. So, anyway, she says, "But as we stand before these men, we are to show no bitterness of feeling." In other words, don't get a scowl on your face. Don't start wagging your finger at the guy. I mean, we've seen some of the courtroom. I don't know if you have, but I've seen some of the courtroom antics at YouTube. People act out in a courtroom and start yelling and screaming at the judge. And says, "Yeah, that makes about as much sense as a penny, as far as I'm concerned." Because why tempt your fate? I mean, this guy's—he can literally flex his authority and not get in the least bit of trouble. He could throw you behind bars and not even get a slap on the wrist from his from any authority. He's a judge. You know, corrupt as it may be, he's still a judge. So anyway, finishing this one paragraph, she says, "Constantly, we are to pray for divine aid. It is God alone who can hold the four winds until his servants shall be sealed in their foreheads." So amen and amen. You go to the next page, and it is chapter 48. And chapter 48 starts at page 376. If you have the book, Selected Messages, Volume 2 on the phone, or anybody that's reading this, or I'm rather wrong, listening to this recording later. And it's talk. It says, "Work of Purification Needed," and it's from 1886. I guess it's a letter that was sent to Basel, Switzerland. And it says, "Dear Brethren G.I. Butler and S.N. Stephen Haskell." And this is a letter, I guess, Sister White wrote to him, or them. And she says, "For weeks, I have not been able to sleep after half past 3 o'clock. Sound familiar? And then she says, "My mind is deeply exercised in regard to our condition as a people. We ought to be far in advance of any other people on the earth because we have a greater light and greater knowledge of the truth, which lays us under increased accountability to advance that light and not only to profess to believe the truth, but to practice it." And that keeps some of us up at nights. We think of, with the amount of people that come to the church now on a regular basis on Sabbath day, or the amount of people that have questions, spiritually speaking, or scripturally speaking, or even spirit of prophecy. I'm not really well versed in spirit of prophecy. That's why I like to read it on Friday nights, because I have not read all their books. I've never read Selected Messages, and so we're reading it here. With the amount of people, and there's hundreds, you know, quite a few actually, but the majority do not help in the work. And that concerns me. And no, I don't lose sleep over it. There are times I wake up in the middle of the night like usual, and I'll go into prayer, and sometimes it comes up. But I do see the work suffering in some areas because people that believe the truth as we understand it and come to the church on a regular basis. I'm not going to mention any names, you know, but I do know who helps and who doesn't because they tie to the ministry, right? But it concerns me for your safety, your spiritual safety, your faith, your family. I mean, when you are disobedient to the Lord in regards to the tithe, and I'm not saying it because I need the money, because no, if we get the money, it goes to the work. We have plenty of witnesses to back that up. You know, quite a few, as a matter of fact, because we fund quite a few workers. And or it could just be, you know, the economy itself, because some people are losing jobs. Who knows? It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, the work will get done. But the people of God, you're not only supposed to profess to believe the truth, you're supposed to practice it at the same time. And that comes into play. And it's not just the tithing either, because there's also physical help needed. And some people think, well, if I give physical help in this area, then I don't have to tithe. You're wrong. You know, if that's the case, then I don't have to tithe ever. Because look at all the physical work I do. There's over 10,000 pages on the website. And I talk to I don't know how many people on a regular basis on the phone and email every day. So I don't have to tithe, right, if that's the case. Well, if I don't tithe, well, then the workers don't get funded. You know, it's not. But there's also love offerings involved, too, because If I was to just send my tithings, it just would not fund the workers. It's not enough. So, but praise the Lord that he does give us what we need. But at the same time, hear what is being said here. That we're not only to profess to believe the truth, but to practice this. And then she says, when we do practice the truth, we are then following Jesus, who is the light of the world. And if we as a people are not constantly elevating, becoming more and more spiritual minded, we are becoming like the Pharisees, self-righteous, while we do not the will of God. We must have a greater nearness to God, much less of self and much more of Jesus. Does that remind you of John the Baptist? He must increase that I must decrease that he may increase, right? He was going to back off so Jesus Christ can step forward after he got baptized. But she says, much less of us, much less of self, and much more of Jesus Christ. And his grace must be brought into our everyday life. We are living in an important period of this world's history. The end of all things is at hand. The sands of time are fast running out. Soon, in heaven, it will be said, it is done. Amen, Adrian. Will a man rob God? Amen. Because a lot of people don't believe, in regards to what Adrian's talking about there, the Lord gives you all the money you have, whether you're rich or poor, it doesn't matter. He gives it to you, and then he watches what you do with it. Because he knows you're supposed to tithe and give love offerings. Now, love offerings, it could be anywhere, it doesn't matter. If you don't have the money, you can't give much in love offerings, but you must always give 10%. Because 10% right off the top is not yours anyway. It's God's money, which means if you don't tithe, you're robbing God, as Paul said. So going on. Next page. What happened here? Okay, let me go back a page. Did it say that? It is done. Oh, okay, she was finished. I thought she was going to just say it's done. So she continues on. So, the end of all things is at hand. The sands of time are running. Well, think about this, too. She said this over in 1886, over 100 years ago, right? Well, it's far worse. It's exponentially worse today than it was in her day. I mean, just the homosexual thing alone. Jesus said it would be like it was in the days of Noah and Lot. Well, it's like Noah when everywhere you look, everything's, it's okay, everybody else is doing it, It's like what the insurance company told me that one day. Yeah, we'll just fib a little bit here, and we just won't tell the main company. I says, yeah, but my father knows, and then my prayers will be hindered. It gave me an opportunity to share my faith with her. And I, square in the eye, just because I was in the office when this came up, and I looked her square in the eye and said that. And I had to say it again later on the phone to her boss, because her boss wanted to do it too. But anyway, she says, the end of all things at hand, the sands of time running fast. And like I was saying, it's like the days of Noah, everybody else is doing all these evil things, no big deal. But it's like the days of Lot, too. And homosexual stuff, the Pope is sanctioning it now. Obama did it first, of course, to test the sands, and now we can see what's going on, or to test the waters. So the sands of time are fast running out. Soon in heaven it will be said, it is done. That's, of course, Revelation 21, verse 6. And then he that is holy, let him be holy still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. That's Revelation 22:11. And so, obviously, that's when the plagues begin, when we're done evangelistically preaching. I mean, if you find yourself in a cave with a bunch of other Gideon Banditite, or bandits. Gideon bandits. I guess we would be considered bandits because, terrorists, they'll call us or whatever, because they were already calling Christians terrorists now. They started that back in that Olympic thing with that, what was that kid's name? I can't remember his name, but I put that on the website years ago in the breaking news section of the site. And the red pages I used to do. Rudolph, I think his first name or something. But yeah, this is when, amen, Ace, this is when the book is closed. And so preaching to bring people into the faith, it ain't happening. It's done. And for those of us that are in the faith, we're not losing it. And we will never die. So, if you find yourself in a cave or in a forest or on the mountain someplace with a bunch of other believers as yourself, and there's no mistake there's drones out there, there's no mistake there's cameras everywhere you go, there's no mistake that there's RFID chips in credit cards and there's methods that track you everywhere you go, the devil's got it all sewn up so that when it comes to where we can't buy and sell, or better yet, when it comes to where they're going to put out the death sentence on us, it's going to be very easy to find us. Unless you're already in the caves, or unless you're already... Well, even there, with the satellites. I mean, they can read the date of a dime on the street with a satellite in the 70s. I mean, come on. If you don't think they can do that, then explain how the Hubble telescope can see billions of light years from now. Hey, just turn the thing around. But you don't need to have a lens that big, because you're only going to be going from orbit to the planet. You're not going from orbit to, like, the Orion Nebula, where our Lord is. You know, they go much further than that. So, yeah, these satellites could very easily find you. That's why. But here's the thing. Brother Craig has witnessed this, and I've even seen some strange things with people threatening me or trying to do things or whatever, and how all of a sudden, like Craig was saying one time, it was like he was invisible. They didn't even see him when he went past them, and in regards to we're passing out the tracks and stuff like that. And so the Lord can make the satellite break. He can tell an angel to put his hand in front of the lens, whatever, you know. So don't worry about it. The Lord will take care of you. I mean, you're guaranteed not to die anyway if you're part of the Gideon Band, so it doesn't matter. So, yeah, I sent an email on that, John and Mary. You didn't get the email? And thank you. Yeah, thank you for the soap and the salve and all that. Oh, that. Yeah, Fran grabbed it, though. Well, I think she likes it, yeah, too, so. But I got my stuff in there. But yeah, all right, anyway. Let our testimonies be sharpened up. Let us have a firmer hold on God. I cannot refrain from prayer at 1, 2, and 3 o'clock in the morning for the Lord to work upon the hearts of the people. And this is what we got to do. Don't just pray for yourself and your families. You know, pray. Mention the prayer list. I do that in absolutely every single solitary prayer. And every now and then, some of you come up. You know, some of your names come up. I'm not going to say who lately, but some of, you know, lately your names have literally, you know, and that's just how the Lord, you know, reminding you, pray for them. We'll find out when we get home how effective it was. You know, you don't need to know now. And she says, I think of all heaven being interested in the work that is going on upon the earth. Ministering angels are waiting about the throne to instantly open the mandate of Jesus Christ to answer every prayer offered in earnest living faith. Think about that. If you're sick right now, think about that. The angels are just standing there waiting for the Lord to say, okay, this is the day. He or she is healed. Or he or she has that letter rain upon them, and the words will come forth out of them, and millions will be saved, or whatever. Whatever is your prayer that is earnest and in living faith, eventually, one day, it's going to hit. It's going to answer. It's going to be answered. She says, I think of how many who profess the truth are keeping it apart from their lives. They do not bring its sanctifying, refining, spiritualizing power into their hearts. That's what I like to call the 18-inch problem. We talk about this all the time. People can study the Bible like the Jews. They, you know, by the time they go up to their bar mitzvah, what are you, 12? When you're at your bar mitzvah, 12 or 13, and you're supposed to have the five books of the Torah memorized, word for word. Yeah. So there's people out there that can memorize an entire Bible. Memorize it, cover to cover. So they got all this in between their ears, but they got nothing in the heart. There's that 18-inch problem. They can't seem to go from the head to the heart. So says, I'd rather have just a smattering of the truth like I do. Just a smattering. As long as it's all in the heart. Because I know my areas that are weak. I know my areas that are strong. And I know that if I go out there, and I'm going to do like Legion did when he was healed. I'm just going to tell the people what I know, what I've seen him do. And that's all I need to do. And just, you know, share it to the best of my ability and tell them. And the Lord will bless me in that respect. And before you know it, you get even more truth as you continue on doing that throughout the years. But even if you don't, if you've got a testimony that will affect people, run with it. Because he'll give you more. I mean, look what he did with the talents. He was just handing them out left and right. With the obedient ones, of course. And the ones that were disobedient, he took them from them and gave them to them. So, next section, page 377. Oh, wow, I just looked at the clock. It's like 2 minutes to 11. Oh, boy. Well, let's just stop here then. Living below our privileges. Oh, I want to do this now. See how far does this go? Wait, let me just see. I think it's it's going to go for a little while. We'll do that next week. But living below our privileges. Oh man, I can't wait to do that one. Yeah, definitely. Because some of us, it's like, you know, like when you just the title alone, living below our privileges. I know what she's going to be talking about there, because there's a lot of people out there. You know, it's like, that's why I did that promises page on the website years ago when we had when we were trying to do the School of the Prophets here at the house. Didn't realize the Lord wanted us to do the School of the Prophets everywhere. But the promises, there's thousands of them in the Word, and we're all walking around like we're paupers, spiritual paupers. You know, and our pockets are jam packed, bulging with all these promises, but we never stick our hand in there to pull them out. You know, it's a living below our privileges. You know, run with what you know He has written. Keep in the Word, you know it all that He has written. Well, you know, you won't be a know it all, but you know what I mean. So anyway, we'll pick it up here next week at Living Below Our Privileges. But I so want to do it now. So I hope and pray you are blessed.